Greetings once again to all of you who comprise the Grow Park Chapel family, as well as anyone else who might be listening. This is Pastor Dale with another brief word to you as we make our way together through this uncharted territory. We can't be together in person, but we certainly can in spirit as we think of one another and pray for each other. Our church directory proves itself to be invaluable at such a time, doesn't it? Pastor Henry and Elder Jim have spoken with a number of you on the phone, and I've also talked with several of you by phone or text. And I'm encouraged by how many of you are reaching out to one another. You're calling and texting and FaceTiming each other. You're sharing with what you've learned about needs and situations with your church family. Many of you volunteered to take food or supplies to your brothers and sisters in need, and some of you have already done so. You've remembered and prayed for those like Ms. Jody and Ms. Marty, who both had surgery this week, as well as others who are dealing with illnesses and physical therapy. You're remembering and praying for those in our church family who are out of work because of the coronavirus shutdown. I commend you for all these practical demonstrations of your love and concern for each other. I'd like to borrow the Apostle John's words from his third epistle and fourth verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. We've already called off all Sunday services this Sunday, March 29th, as well as the Wednesday night through the Bible study for April 1st. We also previously canceled the Easter activities, the choir musical, the Good Friday cross service, and the Easter egg hunt for the children. But since I last spoke to you, stay-at-home orders have been issued for the city of Durham and Wake County, and now Governor Cooper has issued the same order for the entire state with no gatherings of more than 10 people. The governor's executive order goes into effect on Monday and lasts until April 29th, which of course covers all of the Sundays and Wednesdays in April. I told you last weekend that we would consider the church services on a week-to-week basis, but in light of these developments, we'll have to proceed with canceling all of the church services and activities for the entire month of April, as we feared might be necessary. It is especially disappointing to me that we won't be able to gather and worship our risen Savior corporately on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but that is all the more reason for us to take the opportunity to, on each Sunday morning, whether we live alone or with a spouse and children, to gather before a TV or radio or computer and watch or listen to a good sermon by a trusted Bible teacher like David Jeremiah or Robert Jeffers or John MacArthur or Alistair Begg or Ravi Zacharias or Charles Stanley. I admit I felt somewhat like a heathen not being in church last Sunday, but I listened to two great sermons on the radio by Warren Wiersbe and Erwin Lutzer. Some of you have commented about enjoying listening to recent sermons from the Grow Park Chapel pulpit on our website, and I would encourage you to continue to listen. Indeed, you have about a decade's worth of sermons from which to choose. Click on Recent Sermons or on Archive Sermons, which are listed by the year they were preached. And as I mentioned last week, there's great Bible teaching from some of the best Bible teachers in the world every weekday on the Truth Radio Network, locally on 10:30 a.m. or 105.5 or 105.7 FM. More of you are at home now during the week, so you have the opportunity to take advantage of this teaching, a privilege that isn't normally afforded you during your regular working hours. When I was recording last week's message, I noted that at the time, the United States had 22,043 confirmed cases of COVID-19 with 278 deaths. Globally, the virus had infected more than 287,000 people and killed over 11,000. North Carolina had no virus-related deaths at that time. How dramatically those numbers have risen in the past 7 days. As of the moment I'm writing this, there are 660,468 confirmed cases of COVID-19 worldwide with 30,646 deaths. In fact, from the time I began writing this message until I recorded it, 18,230 new cases and 738 new deaths were reported in the world. In the United States, the numbers are 120,529 cases with 2,008 deaths, a huge jump in the last week. In North Carolina, there are 935 cases and 4 deaths, including 101 cases in Durham County and 124 in Wake County, thankfully with no deaths in either of those counties reported. I know you join me in praying for the families of those who've died, as well as for those who've caught the virus and are struggling to recover. It is a time of grief and fear and worry and uncertainty for billions of people on the planet right now, including many of our neighbors. But Bible-believing followers of Jesus have a perspective and should demonstrate a genuine peace that our unsaved friends and neighbors do not enjoy. My friend Dr. Larry Dixon once stated from the Grove Park pulpit that he believed God allowed faithful believers to suffer heart attacks and develop cancer and catch diseases and endure other disasters so that their unsaved friends and neighbors might observe how differently the saints respond to those maladies when compared with the unbelievers in the same condition. I agree with that assessment and remind us that God has placed before us a ready-made setting in which to be His witnesses, to shine His light in the midst of an ever-darkening situation. Saint and sinner, rich and poor, old and young, male and female, we are, as our TV networks are constantly reminding us, all in this together. What a splendid opportunity to demonstrate the difference that Christ and His Spirit and His Word make in the lives of those who know Him. But we must first get our bearings if we would show others the way. The 3M guys have for many months now been working our way through John Bunyan's classic of classics, The Pilgrim's Progress, rightly called the greatest allegory ever written. Penned in the 1670s while Bunyan was imprisoned for preaching in Bedford, England, the book is in many ways as relevant as today's news. It's the story of Christian's journey from the city of despair to the celestial city. In other words, his life's journey from the moment of his conviction by the Holy Spirit and subsequent conversion to his arrival in heaven. Along the way, he encounters such places as the Swamp of Despondence and the Hill of Difficulty and Doubting Castle and Vanity Fair and the Valley of the Shadow of Death. When Christian was floundering in the Swamp of Despondence, he discovered that he could not climb out by himself. A man named Help came to his rescue and pulled him to safety. But Help was able to perform that necessary task because he was not in the swamp. His feet were planted firmly on the solid ground. Many of our neighbors are in the swamp right now, and they need us to pull them out. They're overcome by worry and fear, while we should be experiencing God's peace and thus should be able to point them to the source of our peace, the Prince of Peace Himself. This past Christmas, our choir presented the musical Peace Has Come, and learning those songs over the autumn months inspired me to set as the theme of our memory verses in 2020, God's peace. Of course, I had no idea that we would be facing this coronavirus pandemic, but our faithful God knew it and was graciously preparing us for it. Our January memory verse that we recited together each Sunday morning was the blessing in number 6 with which I ended last week's message, and we'll do the same this week. Our February memory verse was the great reminder from Psalm 119:165, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." And our memory verse for March, which we were able to recite together on each of the first 3 Sundays, is the wonderful promise in Isaiah 26:3, where the prophet says to the Lord, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Hopefully, things will be back to normal in October, and we'll recite together each Sunday the famous promise in Philippians 4. I mentioned the command that precedes that promise in last week's message, and I said we would talk more about it today. So, here we go. Paul commands us in the New King James translation of that passage to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. In a modern English paraphrase of that text would be, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And the promise that follows our obedience of that command is our memory verse for October, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. On a number of occasions through the years, I've counseled individuals who were struggling with worry And I nearly always eventually come to this key passage where the Holy Spirit gives us the divine antidote to worry, and that is believing prayer. Maybe you're experiencing bouts of worry and doubt when you're overcome with the uncertainty of your situation today. Let me encourage you to do what the Lord tells us to do in this passage. Stop at that moment, get alone with God, and come before Him with your prayers and petitions and thanksgivings, and present your requests to God. And if you do that, if you say, "Lord, I'm facing a situation right now that's causing me to worry and be afraid. Yet, Lord, You tell me not to worry, but to bring my request to You. So, Lord, I choose to obey You. I choose not to worry about this, and instead I'm bringing it to You. Here it is. I'm concerned about catching this virus. I'm concerned about my loved ones getting sick. I'm concerned about losing my job. I'm concerned about not getting a paycheck. I'm concerned about not being able to pay my bills, not making my mortgage payment, my car payment. I'm concerned about You fill in the blank. Lord, I choose not to worry about these things, but to bring them to You. I'm asking You to meet these needs, to keep us safe, to take care of us. And Lord, I'm trusting You to keep Your promise and to grant me Your peace." If we do that, dear ones, the promise is, in the next verse, "the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And as He does that, you obey the next verse, which tells you to replace those negative, worrisome thoughts with thoughts about what is noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. And if you'll do that, the promise is that the God of peace will be with you. Verse 9. If your natural tendency is to worry, dear ones, you may have to go through that procedure 20 times the first day. But you just keep doing it, choosing to obey God, choosing to trust Him to keep His promise, and you will develop the discipline of enjoying the peace of God, even in the midst of troubling situations like a coronavirus pandemic. The peace of God is the peace that God enjoys, and I guarantee you, God is not worried about anything at this moment, because He's in control of everything. This is the peace to which our Lord referred in the upper room that night when He told His disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John 14:27. A little later that night, He assured them, "I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." John 16:33. In both those texts, our Lord alerts us to the fact that the opposite of the peace of God is trouble, fear, anxiety, distress, and worry, which is exactly what billions of people are experiencing right now. But we can experience the perfect peace that God enjoys, because He graciously makes His peace available to you and me. Let's accept His gift with gratitude, and then tell others about it. Be safe, dear ones. Keep praying, keep reading, keep trusting, keep practicing social distancing, and keep washing your hands. Call me if you need me. I love you. I'm praying for you. I miss you. Let's all get through this together. And now, once again, in the words of our January memory verse in Numbers 6:24-26, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." Until next time.